kwakuwankwamnyako nauvuku naundukufu ata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of Radio Harambe, the official podcast of JamboEveryone.com and the unofficial podcast of Disney's Animal Kingdom and Walt Disney World. We invite you to visit us at JamboEveryone.com for all the information you need on the Animal Kingdom theme park. On this show, we'll talk about news from the Animal Kingdom and the rest of Walt Disney World. And then in our feature, we will have a full review of the Flame Tree Barbecue. I am Dave McBride, coming to you from the Radio Harambe studios, and joining us from somewhere in the world, a man whose Halloween costume includes stilts and a suit that looks a bit like a spinach salad, it's Safari Mike. How are you, Mike?
You have no idea what my costume is going to be for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party.
This is what I was told. This is what I heard on Twitter.
Even if I told you who it was, you still wouldn't know what it was.
Where are you today, Mike? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm in Sapu National Park. When was the last time you were at Sapu National Park?
Oh, my honeymoon.
Oh, really? You went to Liberia for your honeymoon?
It's not nice there.
But, no, it's lovely. We're here studying pygmy hippos. Have you ever seen a pygmy hippo?
No.
No, they're cute little guys. They look like little baby hippopotamus. They live in the Congo River Basin, and they're extremely rare. Only 2,000 to 3,000 left in the wild.
Wow.
They're in a few zoos, but not the animal kingdom.
How come few zoos? Just because of the rarity of them?
They're rare, they're hard to keep, and they're hard to actually get into the country, but yes.
Oh, wow. And also joining us in today's show, I admit, one of my podcasting heroes. It is Keith of the Disney Hipster Show. Keith, how are you?
I'm fine. That's a really sad admission. We'll go with it. I'm contractually obligated to say Swaharini.
And that's a contract you must keep.
I have to, otherwise I'm out on the street.
In our first segment, we're going to go through the news from Disney's Animal Kingdom. We've got a few stories here. We're going to do some conservation news as well. We'll start off with this. Apparently, last week, Mickey's parade dates for Mickey's Jingle Jungle Parade, the sort of, what would you call, the holiday overlay of the Jam Jungle Parade, were released. Specific dates for... Actually, they've been starting to sort of dribble out dates for all sorts of holiday things this time of year. We now know the parade will take place from November 7th through January 2nd. It's a nice holiday layover. Have you guys ever seen it?
I have, yes. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change a lot from the regular... I mean, this is Jingle Jungle... No, what's the regular name?
Jammin' Jungle.
Jammin' Jungle. So, okay, I mean, it changes it a little bit.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of dons Santa hats.
And the music changes slightly.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm pro Jingle Jungle.
And also, the other thing announced this week, and I don't want Mike to get emotional and tear up, but we received word that Bamboo, the living statue character, is that the proper phraseology?
I don't know.
It's something like that.
Garbage.
he debuted in August, but apparently his time is coming to a quick end, and he from what we understand, he has his last performance on September 23rd. As is usually the case, Disney doesn't say whether or not this is a permanent departure, if Bamboo is going away forever, or if he's just leaving for a little while and then coming back in some other way. We don't really know. All we know is that as of September 23rd, it looks like he is going to be gone. Few will have ever seen Bamboo.
Including me.
Including all of us.
All of us, exactly. Which is sad.
Yeah,
I'm sad to see him go, but I'm also ecstatic that he's going.
I felt like I needed to take a selfie with Bamboo behind me somewhere on my next trip.
Mm-hmm.
We needed you to do that. I'm really just—that's the part I'm disappointed at—is that I that was a picture I needed, And one that was going to be like sort of a highlight of my life to be able to post pictures of Safari Mike and his buddy Bamboo. Yeah.
So a month, was it a month? I guess just about a month.
Just over a month, only like a week more than a month, yeah. Which, it's a head scratcher.
Yeah, the only thing I would have to say is probably the poster child for futility or just, you know, bad Disney stuff. Is Stitch's Supersonic, whatever the hell it was.
Right.
That ran for 6 weeks. Bamboo actually lasted less than Stitch's Supersonic, whatever the hell
it was. Well, but admittedly, Stitch's Supersonic, whatever it was, and there are people probably screaming at their iPods right now because we can't think of the name. There's a more of an investment to that than there was in a Bamboo. I mean, Bamboo was just some spinach salad and a couple of stilts, let's be honest.
Yeah, but it's still weird. It's just weird how they sort of never announced him, but then he showed up, right. And he was there for a bit, but now he's gone. So are we supposed to be intrigued by him?
I don't know.
I just want you to forget him.
I don't know what it was all about. That's the thing. I agree with you 100%, Keith. I don't understand what that was all about. I really don't.
I don't know whether or not to be relieved I never saw him or depressed I never saw him. Him. It's a him, right?
Well, I think it was either one.
Yeah.
Or was there both?
I think it might have been. You know, a lot of people, when this first came out, a lot of people were kind of opining over whether it was some sort of, you know, veiled test of stilted characters walking around so that they can do big blue guys in Avatar Land. A lot of people had said that. This quick in and out certainly makes you scratch your head a little bit more and wonder, you know, we all kind of dismiss that, oh, that's not what it is. But now you got to kind of wonder what it really was, because it was so quick in and so quick out. I can't imagine people were flooding customer service saying, you got to get this thing out of here. Just can't imagine that.
That's the thing. It's so weirdly constructed. Mm-hmm. That they never gave it enough time for people to complain about it.
Right.
But they're also pulling it out before people could kind of commend them for their second living tree initiative character thing. Whatever that it was. I don't know. It's really weird. It's like weirdly handled. It was never limited time magic.
Nope.
But it's been there shorter than some other limited time magic things, yep. Like the trolley shows. So it's handled bizarrely.
Well, maybe he'll come back in December as a long lost friend or whatever they call him.
There you go. You could vote on him. And Mickey as other long lost friend.
Sorcerer Mickey.
Sorcerer Mickey, yes.
So, Mike, you have 5 days to rush down there and get your selfie with Bamboo.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's worth the $2,000 plane tickets.
Now,
it's September 23rd, you said?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so you have 5 days away. So there's only, I don't know when this airs, but you have hours. You have literally hours.
Yep. But he can do it. He's coming from the Congo. You're coming from the Congo?
Yes.
It's a pricey flight. The next story is...
Tell them that Bamboo is dying.
The gross product of the Congo.
What was that?
Tell them that Bamboo is dying and you can get bereavement fare.
There you go.
And you have the blog postings to prove it.
You can, yes, absolutely.
Okay, our next story is one that, I'll admit, kind of gave me a little bit of a heart stop moment when I first started reading it. It has to do with the Dawa Bar moving.
Mm-hmm.
When I first read the story, and you first saw the headline, I was about ready to throw my iPhone that I was reading it off of through the window, because I thought they were going to tell me it was going away or moving somewhere. But apparently, due to the Festival of the Lion King Theater construction, they are moving the Dawa Bar up. The report I read is that it should have been done by now. Have we seen pictures of it? Because I have not.
I don't think it's been done yet.
No, it hasn't. Okay.
No, I haven't.
Because the original report, which came out, I think, on WDWMagic.com, said that it was going to be done this weekend. And I found that hard to believe, but that's what they said, and I haven't heard any confirmation on it. So, as of now, I don't know what's happening with it. But they didn't announce it's being taken away, so that's the one good thing.
But isn't it possible that they're just shifting the seating area, not the bar itself?
Yes.
The seating area that kind of serves as an overflow for Tusker House?
Well, yeah.
I get the impression that they're just kind of repositioning that.
Right. The seating area was a seating area that was an outdoor seating area for when Tusker House was a counter service.
Right.
Yes.
And if you went to the Dowel Bar, you can go eat outside, you can drink, and that kind of thing. So now, since they've moved everything kind of sit down inside at Tusker House, that seating area is, I mean, generally unused.
Yeah, completely underutilized. Yeah. I have never been there where that seating area has to be used.
Right.
I've seen some people sitting there,
sure. But
at the very same time, they could be sitting at the bar.
Yeah, and so I think if they actually do move it up and people do notice the Dowel Bar, that while it may be good for the person behind the bar making tips, it's bad for me because that means more people are going to know it's there.
I think the Dowel Bar is severely under-promoted.
Yes.
I do not think your average Disney guest, which is the person that does not listen to podcasts or search out information online, even knows that that is a bar.
No, they probably walk right past it. Right.
Because there are 50 seats in front of it on 30 different tables, and then there's a bar, which is hardly ever half filled.
Right.
So most people are unaware of it.
Right.
So if they're going to shift the Dawa Bar, quote unquote, I don't see how that can adversely affect anything. The bar is still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
There's just going to be less overflow seating.
Which is fine.
Which is fine.
Yeah, fine with that. I know Jamie is a big, hates the Dawa Bar. What are your thoughts on the Dawa Bar, Keith?
See, you say she hates it. She had a very bad experience there. And Jamie, whom I love, is very quick to eliminate something based on one experience. We had one weird experience in the bar, and since then she has completely written it off and does not pay it any mind and labels it as one of the worst places on Disney property just because we had a weird bartender.
Okay, that's what it was, a weird bartender?
Yeah, that's what it is. We were there like 11:30, which is a perfectly respectable time to drink on vacation.
Absolutely.
And the bar, we sat at the bar, there was nobody else there, and the bartender decided that he was going to plant himself in front of us, we were on the corner, ignore us, but also just stand there the entire time.
I don't understand.
I don't understand either. So Jamie tried to engage him in conversation, and he was from, I think he was from Brooklyn, so he was from somewhere fairly local. Somehow that came up in conversation, so Jamie would say something to him. He was reading the newspaper. He would glance at her and answer in like one or two words and then stare at her for an uncomfortable amount of time and then go back to the newspaper.
Huh.
So she
read the newspaper. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it was really weird. So at that point, she completely wrote off the entire establishment and decided that it was one of the worst places, you know, south of Auschwitz, and we could never go there again.
Okay.
That
explains that, because I never heard that story. But
no. This guy was really weird. He was just a weird dude.
Had you seen him since, or was she just, well, she wouldn't go near him anymore?
She won't. No, it's been ostracized. We're not allowed. We're not allowed to frequent that establishment.
Or the Yak and Yeti, right?
She also had a weird experience at Yak and Yeti.
If you go to Disney enough, you're going to have a weird experience everywhere.
But I'm not even privy to what exactly weirded her out at Yak and Yeti. Something rubbed her the wrong way. And since then, it's been... It's not even a consideration.
Fair enough.
Okay. Either way, it's okay. You know.
Oh, I like the bar. I like both bars. I mean, as far as a place to sit and drink, they're both good. You know, the Dowel Bar is outdoor, so that presents its different challenges, obviously. I mean, it's a, you know, if it's hot, you know, I'm going to be sitting outside.
But I like that. I don't mind.
I like that too.
I don't mind sitting in a bar and drinking a quote-unquote Ethiopian beer. which is distributed by Heineken, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But I don't mind sitting there in when it's hot and sweating and drinking a mass-produced Ethiopian beer. I'm okay with that. She will never do it again because of one bad experience.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll leave that one alone.
That's my challenge.
Okay. The next one is one that Mike brought to me off air, and that is that apparently, and this is according to Mike, is a big deal, the zebra domes, which are tiny little dessert things that those of you don't know, well, I think from Boma originally, right, Mike?
Yep.
Are now available at Johari Treasures, which is the gift shop at Kidani Village. Now, Mike, you insisted that I mention this. Explain to me why this needed to be mentioned.
That's kind of a big deal.
It is. Okay, good. There's two people who believe. Excellent. Go ahead.
Yeah, zebra domes are a very popular dessert. They were only found at the Boma and the Mara. Now you can actually get them at Kidani. So if you're a big fan. No, to be honest, I'm not the biggest zebra domes fan in the
Nor
world.
Nor am I.
Nor am I. So,
but a lot of people love them. I mean, it's just shy of, you know, if they announced Dole Whips were going to be served at Johari Treasures, I mean, that would be big news.
Also overrated.
This is just shy of that, I think.
No, but that's kind of a big deal. I guess there's a little bit of a cult of zebra domes that I don't subscribe to.
A cult of zebra domes.
But there are certain people who feel that that is a integral part of their vacation is to have a zebra dome. I do not hate zebra domes, but I could very easily go down and spend a solid week, not eat a zebra dome, and be fine.
Me too. Me too. I'm not...
Much like a Dole Whip, I would be okay.
See, I like Dole Whips.
I like them. I'm not saying I hate them, but I would not lament if I'm sitting on the plane flying from Orlando. I would not sit there and go, I really screwed up my vacation. I did not have a Dole Whip / Zebra Dome. They're perfectly enjoyable. I will not shun them. If one is given to me, I will not say no thank you, but I won't go out of my way to eat one, and I won't hate the fact that I did not have one.
Well, just for purpose of context, what would be something at Disney that would occur?
If I did not have one?
Yes.
That's actually a really good question. If I went down and I did not have the macadamia pancakes from Kona Cafe, I would view that as a failed vacation.
Wow. Those are good. Those are very, very good.
Those are good. I would sit there and go, ugh, I can't screw this up.
Failed vacation.
I know that I'm not going to be the only one to say this, if I did not have a jalapeno stuffed pretzel, I would sit there and I would say, I kind of screwed that up.
I'm with you there.
How did I miss that one? Okay. All right. Well, that's
sort of a... Okay. But as far as the Dole Whips, the Zebra Domes, they fall under the category for me of overrated.
I agree.
Not that they're bad. Just a little bit overrated.
I agree. And here's an interesting kind of story about Disney inner workings here. Last week, Jackie Ogden, a doctor, PhD, who is Walt Disney World Parks and Resorts Vice President of Animals, Science, and Environment, was named the new chair of the board of directors of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Just quick to explain who Dr. Ogden is. She oversees all the animal care, health, education, and science, all that kind of stuff that's at basically all of Disney. Obviously, the Animal Kingdom being the focus, but there's also the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I was just going to say the Living Seas. The seas of Nemo and Friends, even like the ranch, the Tri-Circle D Ranch.
Right.
There's animals apparently at Aulani, I think. I think there might be birds and stuff at Aulani. Castaway Key has stuff there as well. And she kind of oversees all of that. She also leads the Agricultural Water Sciences Team and Environmental Integration and has a responsibility for animal operations and environmental sustainability across the parks and resorts. Now, Mike, we've explained this before, but just for people who hadn't heard in the past, the AZA is essentially the world's sort of accreditation body for zoos, correct?
Well, the United States, it's the American. Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
Okay.
So it runs, basically runs, well, not runs, but you have to join them. You know, you get accreditation. All of the fairly decent zoos, at least anything besides a roadside menagerie, pretty much is AZA accredited. And they manage.
I like roadside and menageries.
They manage, you know, endangered populations and transfer things and, you know, among zoos and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But this has to be a vote of confidence towards Disney, that somebody who was affiliated with them is now being promoted to whatever position at the ACA. That's a good thing for Disney, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
I mean, that's somebody who oversaw something who's being kind of promoted to, hey, you did a good job. So Disney, therefore, must be doing a good job with animals.
And I think also it is one of those things that sort of, you know, I think everybody thinks of the animal kingdom as being, just because of the nature of adding roller coasters and that kind of thing, you know, there's a feeling amongst some folks that it is not, I'm going to say not a zoo, that it is not a zoo in the truest sense of the word. And I think a promotion like this kind of says that in the animal care world, it really is, you know, and maybe it does add these other things, but that it is as you know, dedicated a zoo as anyone could be. I mean, I don't know, Mike, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I mean, but as Keith was saying, if it's a zoo that's just sort of getting by and is not doing its best to help or promote conservation and deal with in-house animal issues, they wouldn't be where Dr. Ogden, right?
Yes.
Oh, is. I mean, right. So obviously this is somebody who's in the zoo world thought of as somebody who's doing a good job.
It's more than a roadside menagerie.
Somewhat more of a roadside menagerie. Although it is alongside of a road.
It's a half-day roadside menagerie.
Here's a couple of conservation stories. I always like to throw these in when I get them. The White House actually announces last week, along with the Secretary of Interior, her name is Sally Jewell, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, announced major steps towards the fight to save elephants and rhinos from poaching. This is actually a big story because this is one of the first times that the White House has made a point of this. They named an advisory council on wildlife trafficking. They announced plans to crush, I guess they have in possession, 6 tons. The federal government has in possession 6 tons of ivory seized over the years. And they're going to be destroying that so that doesn't get back on the black market. Basically, what they said was, what they finally recognized, is that the wildlife trafficking trade is something that is a national security concern because, and Mike, you can probably speak to this as well, the trafficking of, especially of ivory and these kind of things, fuel or funds other activities by these cartels or whoever it is that's doing it.
Oh, you mean like other illegal activities?
And other, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that was kind of a big step there at the White House, and that came out, I think, last week. So
wait, hold on one second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Chelsea Clinton?
I knew you were going there. I knew it.
Oh, no.
She's behind this?
Yes.
I mean, what does that mean?
Wait, no, it doesn't mean any other than Chelsea Clinton is, like, in charge of the Clinton Foundation, which is a major fundraising operation. And that's the only reason why she was there.
Yeah.
Now, okay. In the last couple of weeks, actually, kind of unrelated, a lot of this wildlife trafficking is starting to get picked up because of the royal family in England.
Yes, that's true.
And so it does feel like there's, you know, the wheels are starting to turn here a little bit, you know, finally. It does feel like there's some major movement behind this kind of thing.
You almost get a sense that it's becoming the in thing for, like, the royalty and
great
ex.
Well, hopefully,
president's children.
Yeah, David Beckham was one of them.
We have to rely. This is who we have to rely on: is baby Royal Baby George, Chelsea Clinton, and Brooklyn Beckham. Brooklyn Beckham.
Brooklyn Beckham.
That's Brooklyn Beckham, probably one of Gwen Stefani's kids. Chelsea Clinton and somebody else who's listed.
That's right.
That's who we have to depend on to save Earth.
Or Prince Jackson.
Paris Jackson.
Right.
Paris Jackson, that's it.
Paris Jackson. Brooklyn Beckham. Chelsea Clinton.
You got them all.
And Baby Royal George, Baby who has Royal. No last name.
Baby Royal George.
Baby Royal George.
And the other conservation story is that September 22nd is actually World Rhino Day. This is not being celebrated at the Animal Kingdom, as far as I can tell.
It will be. They will announce it on the 23rd.
Maybe. But a lot of other zoos and conservation organizations are doing something to promote it one way or another. The only reason why I mention it is because it is a thing. And it is being, you know, like I said, recognized in other locations. And one of our conservation partners is the Save the Rhino organization. And I think for September 22nd, if you can go to savetherhino.org and give them a buck or two, you know, might be a good way to celebrate said holiday.
I like rhinos.
I do too.
I don't know why they don't do it at the Animal Kingdom. They have Rhino Day like in November.
Yeah, well, they tend to do that. They do that a bit. Yeah, they make their own holidays.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
They have a Rhino Day in November. Yeah, they have an Elephant Day on September 25th, 6th, something like that.
Yep.
Just switch them. I don't understand. Do Rhino Day on September 22nd, do Elephant Day sometime in November. Who cares?
Yeah.
And last thing I want to mention before we move on to take our first break is a contest that we have going on. If you haven't seen it on the on JomboEveryone.com in our blog section, we have a book, which I haven't seen it, Mike. You can talk about it more than me. It looks like a gorgeous book.
Yeah, it's nice. Very nice.
It's a hardcover book about the making of the film Chimpanzee, the Disney nature film. It's brought to us by Keith Lapinig. Keith has a lot of content on the web. He does a lot of great stuff. He's got a great YouTube channel. He's part of Modern Mouse Radio. So here's the contest. You can win this book if you could tell us on episode 8, Safari Mike said that he wished Flights of Wonder would point out what fact about the Harris Hawk. And you can give your answers to, you can send your answers via email to safariguide@jomboeveryone.com, or you can direct message us on Twitter at Radio Harambe. Entries have to be received by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
Those hawks are gay.
On Tuesday, September
24th.
Sorry.
Tuesday, September 24th. The winner will be announced on episode 10 of Radio Harambe. Contest is open for everyone. Except for anyone who's contributed to JomboEveryone.com or any of our guest hosts here at Radio Harambe.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, sorry, can't win. Everybody else. And again, our thanks to Keith for that. And check his stuff out on
thank you.
On the web. Not you, Keith. With that, we're going to take a short break. Be back with the world news on Radio Harambe.
Come on, gang. Let's take it home.
If you're like me, you're an Animal Kingdom fan who's just a bit tired of listening to so-called Disney experts who criticize our beloved park for being a, quote, half-day park. Well, it's time to put your frustrations into action by going to the Jumbo Everyone store at Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone and picking up one of our exclusive new Not a Half-Day Park t-shirts. They look great, and we will donate 50% of the profits to our conservation partners. The rest of it will go to helping keep Radio Harambe on the air and JomboEveryone.com on the web. Wear it the next time you visit the parks, or even better, the next time you attend a Disney fan meetup. Go to Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone today and wear your Animal Kingdom pride for all to see.
Welcome back to Radio Harambe. It is now time for the world news. And bringing us the news this week, as always, is Safari Mike. Mike, what do you got for us?
All right, well, I'm going to start off with the Magic Kingdom. The Snow White Mine Coaster is getting closer and closer to being a reality. And apparently, they've actually got a ride vehicle on the track. They're testing it out. And they've actually announced the minimum height requirement, which is going to be 38 inches. That might give you a little flavor as to what kind of thrills we're looking at here.
That seems low. That seems short to me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yep.
So it's not going to be super thrilling.
No. Did you think it would be?
No. But I'm surprised, to be honest with you, I'm surprised there's a minimum height at all.
I agree.
I thought that this would be more dark ride-ish, where there would be no requirements. So the fact that there's any 38, what's that? That's 3 feet, 2 inches.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really short.
Yeah.
The people who most want to see dwarfs, that is pretty short.
But that's taller than most dwarfs, right? No, I mean,
the dwarfs.
He means the ones in the ride, Keith.
Oh, okay. That's
well, it sounds like a lap bar. That's what it sounds like to me, at least.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And this is opening in 2018?
Yes. Tentatively. They'll start soft openings in 2018.
Soft.
Then they'll have the annual pass preview and cast member preview sometime in early 2019.
Oh, Disney, you're awesome.
Universal has two new parks by the time this thing opens.
That's right. What's next?
The next one is the famous My Magic Plus. It's
here we go.
Spreading its golden wings, as they say in Epcot. It's going to, essentially all the resorts will be testing it by October 31st.
Except for All-Star Sports. Screw you, All-Star Sports.
Is it true? All-Star Sports?
Yes, they're not even allowed to get fast passes.
All-Star Sports starts if you book between October 7th and the 31st, you could do it.
You get a free pretzel.
So, it's essentially going to all the resorts by Halloween.
Which means if you're going between now and Halloween, you're going to have to get involved. Which, rumor has it, Safari Mike, while you were, instead of studying some endangered species, spent 3 hours fighting with Disney over your My Magic Plus whatever.
2 hours, 55 minutes, and 20 seconds.
There you go. So you see.
According to my cell phone, right. That's exactly what it was.
Burned in your memory.
That was the second phone call. The first phone call was about 40 minutes trying to figure out why one of my Kidani reservations wasn't on the website. And then they eventually told me they can't figure it out. They're going to send it to a specialist, then they'll get back to me.
Yes.
They never got back to me. They never got back to me. Mm-hmm. But instead, I saw it the next day on my experience.
Well, that's something.
And then it was the 2 hours and 55 minutes. Then I got the magic bands, although I got an extra one. There's two for me. There's a Mike and there's a Jumbo Mike. No, there's a Michael and a Jumbo Mike.
Right.
Michael.
And then today I got the notice that I'm eligible to participate. Which is so far my favorite.
You could not choose your color unless you registered 4 days ago.
This is why first of all, I'm about full of My Magic Plus conversation, but this is why this whole concept from the beginning has utterly scared the life out of me.
It's so awesome.
Because this is going to be years before they figure this out. Years.
I'll be
I don't
dead.
Care what anyone says.
I will be way dead before they nail the whole process.
Honestly, Keith, I would not be surprised if sometime in the next couple of years we start to scale it back. I really wouldn't be.
Machines where you present your pass into the machine and then you were given a fast pass.
Right, the paper one that you then have to give to. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Disney and computers are something that just they just don't get along.
They don't mesh.
They don't mesh. They can't, no mesh. Disney can't figure it out. I am the first one to say Disney does a lot of things really, really well. But they have never done technology well. If you've ever seen the reservation system that they use in some of the restaurants and some of the places, it looks like the point of sale unit I used when I worked at Sam Goody back in the 1980s. I mean, it's the same kind of thing.
Sam Goody.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. It, insane.
It's that's Crazy Eddie.
Oh, sorry. Same difference.
It is the same difference. But it's not. And Mike, you spending 3 hours on the phone with them is exactly what's going
to
happen. I
mean, well, that was just to get the bands. That was just
Get the bands.
Then I made my reservations. That actually went relatively well.
Right, how long did that take?
I'm still doing them. I fiddle around with it all the time. It's great. I love it.
Exactly.
It went relatively well.
Exactly.
A week later, I'm still poking around. And
I have all my reservations, but a perfect example. I was on Twitter. I made my reservations for the Magic Kingdom on the last day.
Mm-hmm.
I went on Twitter. I'm like, you know, what should I do for my last one? I'm getting all these people. And I said, screw it. I'm going to Epcot that day and switched them all over to Epcot. That's what I do.
Now, Keith.
Yes. I'm here.
You don't believe that the reservation process is as smooth as Mike?
No, not even a little bit. I think the whole thing is completely.
That was not an edit noise, by the
no.
way.
I took the curse words off and I just went.
We appreciate that.
I'm here for you, dude.
Thanks.
But no, it's awesome. I would like the ability to, if I wanted to use all of my fast passes for Soarin', or if I wanted to use all of my fast passes for Tower of Terror, I should be allowed.
And you should also be allowed to book the Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster in the morning, and then Soarin' at night. If you have a AP or a park hopper.
You can. If you have roughly 3.5 hours to dedicate towards fine-tuning your FastPass pluses.
I didn't think you could do that. Two different parks?
The same park? Oh, no. Two different parks? No.
Yeah, two different parks.
No, that's not. Nobody does that.
Can I ask you this question, guys?
Stop being ridiculous. Nobody goes to two different parks.
This is what I'm under the understanding of. If you make these reservations for, Soarin' and Test Track at 7 o'clock at night, because you plan on being at Epcot there, if you go to Magic Kingdom in the morning...
Nope.
You can't use the regular Fast Pass, correct?
No.
Why do we want this?
You're doing Soarin', which makes sense, because that gets a line. You're doing Test Track, which, for whatever reason, gets a line. But then your third Epcot Fast Pass has to be either Living with the Land, Journey into Imagination, Maelstrom.
Right.
Who in God's green earth is going to book Journey into Imagination?
Somebody will. That's why they put it there.
Whatever the Mexican version of Tiempo.
Right.
The boat ride.
Right.
The meet and greet.
That makes some sense.
Well, this is all there because when people do want to change them later on, they have something to change to, correct?
I suppose.
I mean, there's no other reason why some of these attractions have this. We've discussed that before. I mean, yeah. By doing this, are they trying to keep people from being on the bus system or something? Are they trying to keep people from hopping?
I don't know why they have it limited. If you have a park hopper or an annual pass, I have no idea why you can't.
You should be able
to. No reason to. Yeah, absolutely.
Outside of the Magic Kingdom, and this is a sad admission, but outside of the Magic Kingdom, it's very difficult to decide what your third Fast Pass will be at either Hollywood Studios, Epcot, or Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's very. You basically have to throw your hands in the air and go, oh, I guess I'm doing a meet and greet.
Right.
See, but the part of the problem is, and I've heard this, is that this whole FastPass Plus thing is making some of the attractions that used to be 10 minutes to get on, yeah, more. I've heard horror stories about Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion is the one that, for whatever reason, Haunted Mansion is the poster child for My Magic Plus totally screwing up.
Right.
I've heard this, though, about Great Movie Ride, too, that it's really screwing up.
Could it be they just haven't cracked the technology of getting you from one park to another in the course of a day?
Yes. I mean, they're struggling.
We'll get back to 2015.
Yeah. Nah, it'll be canceled before then.
Disney! What the hell, man? It'll go the way
of Pal Mickey by then.
Yeah, right. Exactly. My Pal Mickey. I mean, the three of us know Disney. I mean, we know what the right attractions are. We know the websites. We know all that kind of. The person who goes there every 5-6 years, who never even figured out the original Fast Pass, they're going to have no clue what's going on. They're going to be the ones fast passing Illuminations,
right?
And you know, Finding Nemo the musical.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not going to work.
Senseless.
Helps us though. We know exactly how to do it.
Yeah, but all the three parks outside of Magic Kingdom, there are two attractions that beg for you to fast pass them.
In fairness,
it's that
probably
third one that it makes you go,
yeah,
I don't know what to do.
Exactly, but and that's absolutely true. But the thing is, I mean, I listen. I know just from Mike, he never goes a day without park hopping. So I don't understand, Mike, why you even signed up for it.
Just to try it? Yeah, I want to try it.
So if you were there 7 days and you only did the My Magic Plus 2 days, the other days you can still use it?
No. As far as I understand, you cannot pick and choose. You either do it
or you don't.
Or you don't.
Right.
Oh.
And they told me on the phone, this is how clueless some of these guys are. They told me on the phone, because the Wilderness Lodge was not, I'm switching resorts in the middle of the trip from Kidani to Wilderness Lodge. Okay. And Wilderness Lodge was not listed until recently as trying it out. And they told me that you were going to have to switch back over when I go to the Wilderness Lodge. I said, that's fine. I'll try it. And then, you know, when I go to the Wilderness Lodge, you know, I'll do the regular Fast Pass. Nope. I'm doing it for all 7 days. I was able to book for everything.
Yeah, my ridiculous trip begins in Animal Kingdom, and then I go a bunch of days at Old Key West, and then I end in Animal Kingdom. But since Old Key West is not on the approved list for people who are trying out this ridiculous process, I can do the beginning and do the end and everything in between, but because... as it works out, it doesn't benefit me to use an annual pass this time. So I'm actually using just a regular pass. It screwed everything up.
Oh, God.
Like, I'm on the precipice of breaking Disney. For everybody. Just because I tried to book fast passes on the night that I'm going to be at the Halloween party.
Right.
Which is fine, but then I cannot book passes for later in the trip because my pass indicates that I'm only there for a certain amount of days.
Oh my.
No, it's really, it's...
they're never going to fix that. Do we understand this? They're never going... People who are upset about us whining about this, because I've been told that, we've you know, especially me, I've complained about this quite a bit.
Personal problems, right?
You know... they're never going to fix that, folks. It's never going to be completely smooth. There's always going to be an issue. There's always going to be somebody who doesn't want to use their ticket this way, doesn't want to go from one place to another, wants this thing, wants to buy a 7-day park hopper, maybe they can stay off-site for a couple of days. You know, all this kind of... there's always going to be a wrinkle in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think Disney's going to stay out ahead of that, you're deluded. Because they're just not gonna.
I'm gonna exploit every wrinkle they have.
Well, we're gonna start to find them soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna be those things coming across the Twitter.
There are some people who have booked 7 fast passes to test track on one day. Why you would want to do that is beyond me. But there are people who have figured out a way to book 7 fast passes to a single attraction in Future World.
Awesome. All right. What's next, Mike? Get me off of this, please.
All right, next up. This I'm actually kind of excited about. Down at Downtown Disney or Disney Springs or whatever the hell you want to call it, there are going to be food trucks. 4 food trucks. One is called Enchanted Fair, which is going to serve favorites from Disney parks around the world, like the Croque Monsieur from Magic Kingdom Park or the Noodle Salad from Hong Kong Disney. Another one's going to be the World Showcase of Flavors, which is going to feature items, favorite items from the Food and Wine Festival.
Of course.
The examples they gave online were the beef sliders, the pierogies, and the lobster rolls.
Really?
Yeah. The next one is going to be called Superstar Catering, and it's, I guess, themed after Hollywood, but for some reason known only to Disney and God, they decided that Hollywood and meatballs go hand in hand. There's a joke in there somewhere. It's going to be all meatballs.
Really?
Really? Wow. Great.
And the Namaste Cafe will feature, think kind of Sanaa. There's going to be buttered chicken, slow-cooked beef short ribs, tandoori stuff. That one I'm actually interested in.
Okay.
And these are going to be at Disney Springs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Downtown. They're going to apparently be at Downtown Disney at the fall of this year.
Or the west side, I would imagine.
Not sure.
So every day they're going to drive there and they're going to park.
No.
Yep.
Get out of here.
I have one yeah and one no.
I can't. Mike, you think they're going to drive them away?
Oh, no. Those trucks aren't going anywhere. Nor are they going to actually probably cook anything.
That's what I was just going to say. I'd be stunned.
They're
going to
have everything. Yeah, they're just going to bring stuff in the morning and reheat it. It's going to be that'd be my guess.
Let's not pretend we know that's the case. It's not. We don't know that, but that's going to be my that's my guess.
Well, just think about it this way: if they're going to serve tandoori shrimp, which is what they're saying, a tandoori. You're not putting a tandoori oven in a truck.
No, you're not.
There's no way they're cooking it there.
That's right.
So this is a void.
We're getting snarky again.
Probably. So we're at Disney Springs / Downtown Disney.
Mm-hmm.
In its kind of transition period. There's going to be some trucks that pull up. Where?
They haven't said where.
Okay, so it's going to be in the parking lot.
Pretty much.
Are you excited, Keith? Is this going to be great?
No.
No?
Ew.
I try it.
Oh, this sounds terrible.
Yeah.
No, this sucks.
You're not interested in a lamb meatball flatbread and Superstar King truck?
I am, but not... one in a mobile home that pulls up and is serving something that was
cooked at 7:30 in the morning. Yeah,
and they're just nuking it. No,
that'd be my guess. I can't imagine. I mean, like I said, they don't have a tandoori oven in a truck.
No. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. What's next?
Okay,
that's terrible. Come on, Disney.
But not only that, but wasn't food trucks kind of like a thing like 5 years ago?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it still is a thing.
Let's embrace the fact that Disney is very hesitant to embrace fads, for lack of a better word, fads that existed food-wise in the recent history.
Yeah.
Cupcakes, I can't swing a dead cat without hitting a cupcake establishment.
Yep.
Where I currently live.
That's right.
Now they're embracing that in Disney World. Mm-hmm. So now they're moving on.
Right.
To food trucks.
Food trucks, yeah. But it is still a thing.
Really cool in 2010.
Yeah. Well, you know, they let other people test the market out for them first.
Well, you know, about 6 months ago, the execs finally said to themselves, you know, I hear Starbucks is a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we need to get them on board.
Let's get that. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
People are complaining about coffee. Have you ever heard of this Starbucks thing?
No. Tell me more. Really? They'll pay what for coffee? Yes. We'll take six of them. Take one at each East Coast Park, Disneyland, Disneyland's Downtown Disney. Give us them.
Yep.
So we're going to get some Froyo soon.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. Beyond that.
And whatever the next thing is, wait 3 years, there it'll be.
Okay. All right. So that's good, yeah. I guess. You know.
Something else to try. What else, Mike?
All right. Next one. I know you're a big fan of Dave.
Oh, good.
Glow with the Show ears are coming across the country. By popular demand, they're coming to Fantasmic starting October 15th, and Wishes and Celebrate the Magic starting October 19th.
Okay, I'm going to probably offend some people when I ask this question, because you sent me this. I have no idea what this is.
Okay,
I haven't. All I know is it probably is some sort of lit up mouse ears just from the name.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Yeah, for like $30, you can buy a set of ears in California.
$30?
Something like that. Yeah, I think it's like 30.
Is it 30?
25, 30, something like that. And
for plastic mouse ears?
Well, wait.
Okay, well, I'll wait, Nate. Give me the big one.
They have, I guess, RFID or whatever it is in the ears, so that as the wonderful world of color is flashing its color lights and all that kind of stuff, your ears match the lights in tune. It almost brings the show out into the audience.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it's going to be very disturbing in the middle of Magic Kingdom. Fantasmic is okay, I guess. But Wishes...
Why would it be disturbing?
Well, it's going to be all... I mean, it's all these lights. No. I'm not a big fan. But that is a may.
So what you're saying is they're going to do it during Wishes?
Yeah. Wishes, Celebrate the Magic, and Fantasmic. Oh, and then Osborne Family Lights. That's fine. I don't have a problem
with
that.
That's pretty cool.
Osborne is the only thing that I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm okay with that one. I'm okay with Fantasmic. You're not okay with Fantasmic? I mean, it's off in its own theater. It's I'm okay.
I'm okay with all of it. It doesn't matter.
See, I saw when we were at the World of Color in Disneyland, I saw the way that this Glow with the Show works.
See, you know more than I do. So, okay, good. Yeah.
There's not a lot of people who are willing, at least when we were there last year, I guess, 10 months ago, who were willing to purchase the Glow with the Show ears.
That was my first thought.
Because it was, I want to say it was $20 for the ears. Or if you bought into their the package deal, where if you did the pre-show... You purchased your meal beforehand. It came with the Glow with the Show ears.
Oh, like the Fantasmic dinner package kind of thing?
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
Cool.
It was a very small percentage of people who bought into that.
Okay.
So there wasn't a lot of people when I watched Glow with the Show that used the ears. So it wasn't super distracting.
Okay.
Based partially on the fact that not a lot of people did it. I think if you got a lot of people to do it, at Osborne it's fine. Fantasmic, maybe. Anything beyond that, it's really distracting.
Well, it just doesn't seem like a concept that in itself would have a lot of sales on any given night.
No.
Because who wants to buy something for $30, $25, $30 they can only use for the next 20 minutes?
Exactly.
You know.
And they tried to upsell it into, well, if you walk around the park, and this is Disneyland, if you walk around the park, there are certain areas that will trigger your ears to respond.
Pal Mickey, all over again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exact same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's $25. According to the website I'm looking at right now, it's $25.
Yeah.
For the ears.
And I don't see how distracting it is any more than they sell those kind of carnival glow things anyway.
The whole thing. All of those people need to be shot in the face.
But they do that already, so I don't see how this is that big a deal. But I haven't seen it yet, so as far as I'm concerned.
The same people who are going to buy the necklace or anything else that glows with it
will buy this.
Buy the shoe. The hat. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be the same thing.
Yeah.
So it won't be any more distracting. It'll just be equally as distracting. And Disney will make money, which is fine.
That's what we're here for. Next.
Last and certainly not least, this might be the big story. Disney has essentially announced that the next DVC is the Polynesian. They put up construction walls a couple of days ago, and they've already announced it, which is odd considering. What was that?
The hell you say?
No, now it's official. Now it's official.
Oh, okay.
It seems kind of odd after the years where they were building the Grand Floridian, the Bay Lake Tower, they wouldn't say a peep. Now they put up construction walls and they announce it, like 2 days later.
Did they ever officially announce Bay Lake Tower? Or is it still just kind of unbeknownst to anybody else?
I think they officially announced it about 6 months ago.
Yeah. that the timing of the announcement is not indicative of what they've normally done. That's true.
Yeah, it's completely different. I mean, the Grand Floridian, I don't think they're not taking guests yet, right? But the Polynesian apparently is going to open up in 2015. The question now becomes, are you going to have the little Tahiti little cabins on the water that you hear about? Is Trader Sam's coming there? It should be all, I guess we'll all get that information as we move along.
Cool. All right, well, let's take another break and come back with our feature segment on, what was it again? The Flame Tree Barbecue. I'm very sorry. We'll be back on Radio Harambe just after this.
Jennifer Green of Destinations in Florida is the official travel partner of Radio Harambe and JomboEveryone.com. Jen can do everything you need done in order to book your next Walt Disney World vacation and have the time of your life. She is an expert in everything Disney and will remove all the stress of booking your trip. And she is as committed to conservation as we are. So every vacation you book, or even every quote you request, means Jen and Destinations in Florida will make a donation to the Jumbo Everyone conservation effort. You can contact Jen directly by emailing her at jennifer.g@destinationsinflorida.com or by calling her directly at 443-424-0181. You can also head over to JomboEveryone.com and click the Destinations in Florida icon to get your vacation started. Seriously, what can be better than booking a Disney World vacation while helping to save wildlife?
Welcome back to Radio Harambe. I am your host, Dave McBride. I am joined today by Safari Mike.
Jumbo.
And Keith from the Disney Hipsters.
Jumbo.
How are you guys? And we are now going to our feature part of the show, which is going to be entirely on the Flame Tree Barbecue. Mike, I think this is our first sort of like in-depth dining review, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Show 9?
Yeah. So this is the first time we've really jumped into a dining establishment in our area of expertise. And we're going to begin with Flame Tree Barbecue. And let's start off with the menu, Mike.
All right. So you want me to go through the menu here?
Yeah.
Sure. Keith, tell me, is this a place you... The reason why I'm fumbling over this is because I'm a little befuddled by why Keith was chosen to discuss the Flame Tree Barbecue.
Because I eat meat,
okay,
which
good.
Is rare on the whatever thing I'm on.
On your show. Excellent. Great,
your crew.
Great point. Great point. Okay, so go ahead, Mike.
All right. So it's the half slab of St. Louis ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And only a half slab. There's no full roast slab.
Corn muffin? I think it comes with a corn muffin, doesn't it?
It comes with baked beans and a coleslaw.
Right.
There's a half chicken, as opposed to a full chicken, with baked beans and coleslaw. There's a pulled pork sandwich, a ribs and chicken combo.
Nice.
which is basically the first two things just in a combo for people who really need to eat a lot. The smoked chicken salad. I guess this is the vegetarian option. The fruit plate. Honey yogurt.
The seasonal sliced fruit plate filled with the aforementioned honey yogurt.
Has vegetarians all over the world flapping to the Flame Tree Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. The smoked turkey breast with cranberry. It's a sandwich with cranberry mayonnaise and fresh fruit. The jumbo turkey leg. The famous, world famous, even has t-shirts. Jumbo turkey leg. You can get it either with or without coleslaw. And finally, they have an onion ring basket and a side order of French fries.
You can get the turkey leg with coleslaw?
You can.
How do they stuff the coleslaw into the wrapper with the turkey leg?
I'm assuming it comes on the side. I've never actually partaken.
Oh, so we're having a turkey leg sort of basket now.
I guess.
Interesting. Ooh. That's got to be controversial for the turkey leg purists.
Turkey leg, doesn't it?
What?
Sort of defeats the purpose of the turkey leg.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. All right, so...
Yeah. Okay.
So, do we have guys? Are we any particular favorites on this we would like to recommend, or how do we feel about the menu options here?
Well, I've had the ribs,
yeah,
and I've had the pork sandwich, and I've had the ribs and the pork sandwich.
I've had the chicken too.
Yeah,
you've had the chicken.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah,
I have to be honest. When we went here many, many, many moons ago in 1998 when the park opened, this was my favorite counter service in any Disney park. I loved it. We went there like two or three times in the...
Mine as well.
And I have noticed, I think, the quality of food there has gone down, not precipitously. It's not terrible by any means. But the meat is just a little drier. It's not quite as tasty as it once was. They got rid of the onion relish, which I loved back then in 1998. It's just not quite as good as it used to be. That's all I can say.
I have to agree to a significant degree.
Yeah, I would agree as well. I mean, it was a favorite place of mine probably for the first 5 or 6 years of the Animal Kingdom's existence. And then it just kind of like, taking kind of baby steps back. I still like it, but I don't.
I like it, but I could very easily go on a trip and not go there.
I used to think the ribs were one of the best counter service menu items in the entire resort, and they were that good. I mean, you know, there are places obviously in the world, just like everything in Disney, when it comes to food, there are places where you can find it a lot better than here. But as far as just a counter service meal and an affordable one, it was like a good, it was a good quality sit down meal at a counter service restaurant.
Yes.
For $10 rather than for $30, you know. Mm-hmm.
No, I'll agree with that 100%. There was all of our earlier trips to Animal Kingdom had to factor in me going to Flame Tree and getting the ribs. Once in a while the pork, but usually the ribs. Mm-hmm. And you'd go down, you'd sit there at the all the way at the seating area that was on the water, that kind of faced even before Everest. You'd go down there, you'd eat. It was something that I did every time. In the last 5 or 6 years, if I did not do it, it wasn't the end of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I mean, that used to be my number one spot. I would put it third now on the list of counter service at Animal Kingdom.
Third behind?
Restaurantosaurus.
Okay.
And Tamu Tamu.
Okay.
I would say it's probably, instead of being head and shoulders above those, I'd say it's probably along those lines now. In my opinion, I wouldn't say one of those two are better. But.
It's very interchangeable.
Yeah,
I mean, if the other people in my party are like, hey, let's go to Flame Tree for lunch, I'm not like, oh, absolutely not. I have to go to Restaurant of Sword. Not by any means.
Now, before we get off the menu and go on to the decor, didn't they used to, forgive me if you said this, didn't they offer a key lime pie? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, I think it is still.
They now have key lime mousse.
Oh, that's what it is. That's right, key lime mousse. They do these, thank you. Thanks to the dining plan, they do these like little. They're very into mousse. There's like these little tiny cups.
Of love mousse.
Oh yeah, they're all over the place. Every counter service has these mousse that they force you to eat.
Nobody's forcing you to eat it.
Well, force you to take it anyway. on the dining plan. Yeah, they dessert is not a thing here anymore. But yes, they used to have key lime pie. You're absolutely right.
Okay. So let's move on to the decor. And because this to me, the seating area is still a selling feature in my mind. Because it does have some really cool outdoor down by the water, as Keith mentioned, down along the river. There's some spots where you go way down, away from the building where the food is served. And you could be there by yourself sometimes.
Sure. If you venture all the way down, if you keep going down, you can find yourself with a very kind of private, but also pretty to look at dining area for a counter service.
Yes. Yep. And there is also, Mike, you still with us?
I'm here.
There's also a theme behind the decor as well.
Sure. So it's predator prey, for obvious reasons. So each of the pagodas, and
the ribs are the loser in that.
to me, this place is so huge. I can't think of another. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm trying to think of another counter service restaurant that's just this in terms of area huge, because you have these pagodas and then like little paths that go around this little pond and go down by the water. It's just like it's a very large space that this occupies, and each of these little pagodas has a different theme within it of a predator prey kind of thing. So you would have on one, there's all the decor is spiders and eating butterflies. On another one, there's anteaters and ants. On another one, there's eels and crabs. There's crocodiles and fish. There is eagles and snakes, which is kind of weird because bald eagles don't really eat snakes, but for whatever, they have it there. And then they have, right next to that, snakes eating mice. And all these different pagodas have these different little cartoony-esque displays of these predator-prey relationships, just so it's not very too over-the-top, nature documentary, like lions tearing out the throat of a wildebeest kind of thing.
Yeah, we don't want to see that while we're trying to eat it.
Right. Instead, it's like this cartoon character of an owl catching a cartoon character of a rabbit. And even the seats and the tables, if you'll notice it, the tables themselves will have the design of the prey animals, and that's obviously where you put your food, while the predator, you, is sitting on a chair that's designed as the predator of that particular pagoda. So they're very detailed in terms of the theme itself.
Right. So.
Really?
Yeah. You never noticed that?
Not to that degree, no.
Yeah, it's all it's incredibly well thought out. You know, like everything there, it's the detail inside of it, and it's like he was saying, it's kind of he used the word cartoon. It's stylized in other parts, and there are some things that almost look almost like totems. How would you explain that, Mike?
They kind of look like the animals you get, and I can't remember the word off the top of my head, but you know in Mexico where those statues that they design, they're cartoony-esque almost kind of look to them.
But almost artistic more than cartoon. I don't know if cartoon's the right word. It's almost
they're very vibrant in color.
Yeah.
And they are artistic. I just can't think of the name off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't think of it either.
The style that you get in Mexico, and they actually use this in Pizzafari, too.
That's right.
Thanks.
So, gentlemen, how would we want to rate this? Do you want to rate it against other counter services in all of Disney World?
Sure. We can do that.
Yes.
Well, then I'll ask you two things.
There seems to be a huge disparity between a few years ago and now.
Right, but we...
It makes it difficult to... You know, to really rate it.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to remain positive about it. You have a negativity in there, like you're saying, based on what you knew it once was. But I think, at least I find that when in the sort of greater world of counter service in Disney, it still is pretty high up the list.
I would eat a flame tree over any place in Hollywood Studios.
Completely.
And probably over any place in Magic Kingdom.
Totally. I would.
Maybe Columbia. I like the lighthouse sandwich at Columbia Harbor House.
Okay.
But beyond that, I would still probably put it second place.
Yeah, I mean, even counter service at Epcot there's not much there.
There's a couple, though, that I like better than this. Like the Tangerine Cafe in Morocco. I like Sunshine Seasons in Epcot better.
Really?
Yeah, there's a couple that I like better at Epcot than this.
I wouldn't say Sunshine Seasons. I wouldn't agree with anyone. I would still maintain that it is at the very top of the list with a counter service in... If you're a meat eater, counter service at Walt Disney World. So if you're giving it stars, if we're going to give it to, four or five stars, they're going to give it stars. I have to give it five because I can't think of anyone that is that much better or is even clearly better than this. All, in my opinion, are at least almost as good, if not worse. And now that's not saying I'm giving it five stars because, my God, you can't live without going here. It is an incredible place. But that I don't feel that way. Just a little self-disclosure here. I don't feel that way about almost... I don't feel the way about anywhere in Disney World to eat, except for maybe one or two sit-down restaurants. For the most part, I don't have that kind of... I'm not a person who thinks that Disney does over-the-top great food. I think they do good food, and a lot of it's done well. And the counter service happens to not be very good, except in a few places like this where they happen to do a couple of things. Now, we didn't bring in Downtown Disney at all, where something like the Earl of Sandwich is considered a counter service and a couple of things down there that might be in there. But theme park-wise.
Just theme parks?
Theme park-wise, I would say this is among the best. Still is. Despite it being disappointing compared to what it was 10 years ago.
I'm looking at, 3.5.
That's what I was going to go with, 3.5. Maybe 4.
Yeah, I'm hesitant between 4 and 3.5.
So is there anything that gets a 5?
I like Tangerine Cafe a lot in Morocco. I like Sunshine Seasons gets a 5 for me. I really like Tamu Tamu, too. I like the food there. It's a very, very limited items, but I like it a lot. Those would get 5s. I could probably come up with a couple of 4s.
I mean, a 5...
Restaurant service better.
I hesitate to give anything a perfect score, ever.
I agree.
But if you're just basing it on Animal Kingdom, I would go 4, maybe 4.5, with no 5s. Disney on a whole, again, between 3.5 and 4. It's a solid meal.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
You're not gonna be disappointed.
Unless you're attacked by birds, which roll up.
That's an issue there. Don't laugh.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's a big issue.
It is. It's a problem there now.
But the peacefulness of it does rate it up. I mean, even though the food is okay, just the pagoda down by Everest, the area right around the pond with all the little statues,
it's great.
Frogs and turtles. Those are all nice. So maybe I'll give it a 4. The decor, I think, brings it up from like a 3, 3.5 to a 4.
Ambiance.
Yeah.
Probably the word I would use.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll say based on heavily weighted towards the ambiance, I'll go 4.
So there you go. The Flame Tree Barbecue. And just a one more time disclaimer here. If you are a vegetarian...
Avoid.
Don't even go, because there's just nothing there besides the seasonal fruit plate.
With fruit Yes.
With honey yogurt or whatever.
Oh, God.
And onion rings.
And onion rings. And onion rings.
And french fries.
The world famous onion rings. Listen, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Radio Harambe. For more information on the Animal Kingdom, please come visit us at JohnBoEveryone.com. You'll find everything there is to know about the Animal Kingdom there. Reviews of attractions, restaurants and shows, photos, lots of information about animals and conservation. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Radio Harambe. Mike is at JohnBoEveryone. Keith, you can be found at KJ Disney Hip.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay, good.
Probably.
So if you probably oh, Mike and I, our links can be found also at JohnBoEveryone.com. Besides the Twitter, you can also find Keith at the Disney Hipsters Show. They have two of them now, and one is part of the Touring Plans Network, and one of them is a no holds barred parental advisory suggested.
Very much suggested.
I don't let my parents listen to it anymore.
You shouldn't.
Keith knows that story. We won't get involved in it now.
That's the whole thing.
Well, you could literally go to iTunes, put in Disney Hipsters, you'll find them both. Download them. They are fantastic. The shows are great. So, and you can also find them, you can visit their blog at DisneyHipsters.com, which you guys have heard this last couple of shows. Don't forget our conservation store. We have a new Not a Half Day Park t-shirts available. They look really cool. I like them, and we're going to donate a portion of our profits to our conservation partners. You can find them on JohnBoEveryone.com and hit the conservation. The store itself is found at Zazzle.com/JohnBoEveryone. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes. Rate us. Leave us a review there. You can listen to us on Stitcher as well as Podbean. I think I got it all. Am I forgetting anything, Mike?
No, I think you're good.
All right, so for Keith and Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwaarini, go well, and thank you for listening to Radio Harambe. Now